Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Philippians, joined again by my dear friend Scott Toole. And we're a little bit proud of ourselves today because yesterday we were able to get through five verses in 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think we doubled our last record.
We doubled our production. That's right. So we are out of the right lane into the center lane, and we're moving with traffic now.
Yes, yes.
Verse 20 of chapter 1 is, again, so many quotable verses in the book of Philippians. I know that this book is near and dear to many of you. Listen to verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. These verses have been chosen by many to be what we'd call a life verse, a verse that would guide their very lives. Talk to me a little bit about these verses, if you would, Scott.
Paul, evidently, reading through the book of Philippians, was more concerned about Christ being magnified, the gospel getting out, people being introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, than he was about the comforts and accoutrements of the life that he had. I think about Christ being magnified, whether by life or by death, that Christ might be magnified in my life. I think about what 1 Peter wrote when he said, hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The WWJD, what would Jesus do? Which in his steps derived from the book is a great thing, trying to model and pattern. Of course, it has to be Christ living through us, but we're so ready to have the positives, but the steps he took were up a hill called Golgotha, Calvary, suffering for someone else's benefit, doing without so that someone else can be blessed, giving his life so that others can gain life. And Paul said, if I die, no big deal. If I live, I want to live like Christ. I want to very gladly spend and be spent for you, giving my life to be a blessing to others.
I'm willing to look bad in order for him to look good.
Yes.
I should be ashamed. Yes. There are things that are going to happen to me that people are going to laugh. Yes. They're going to jeer. I could be marched naked through the streets, but if it's going to magnify Christ, then I welcome it. Amen. Whether by life, amen, by death, whether by good, by bad, whether by prosperity or persecution, I just want Christ to loom larger in the view of other people. So I guess my question for us, Scott, and for our listeners would be, is Christ being made bigger? Yes. Becoming larger in view because of the way he's reflected in my life?
Yes, yes. Magnified, a magnifying glass. Megaluno, making him large in the sight of people. When people see us, do they see Christ? They don't read, unsaved people usually don't read their Bible, but they do read Christians. And when they read us as Christians, are they seeing the Lord Jesus Christ? And what suffering does, suffering proves to us what our top priority is. Suffering is our top priority, the comforts and accoutrements. And I'm all for the prosperity. It's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of. And if God's blessed you, praise the Lord. But when that downturn comes, when that layoff happens, when that cancer has to be treated, boy, how do we respond then? And it shows us, is our top priority Christ being magnified, or is our top priority the ease and comforts of the life that we live?
So Paul said to both the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, hey, I really want you to pray for me. And I want you to pray that God gives me boldness to speak as I ought to speak. And then he specifically said to the Colossians, he said, and I'm praying that God would give me a door of utterance, a door of utterance that we would say today, an open door to preach the gospel. And yet, how did God answer that prayer in Paul's life? He did give him doors of utterance. Matter of fact, he's talking about one right now. I have had the opportunity to witness to the palace guard, the Praetorian Guard. I have had access to people like Roman centurions that I never would have had access to had it not been for my trial. So the trial was the door of utterance, was the answer to the prayer. So I guess my question would be this: how often in life does God give us a door of utterance and we spend all of our effort and our time and our prayer trying to shut the door?
Yes. Yes.
We're trying to shut the door.
Yes.
God put you there for those people. And yet we try to slam that. He wrote to the Corinthians from Ephesus, and he said, there's a great door, an effectual, opened unto me. And then he was quick to add, to frame that, to say, and there are many adversaries. I want you to understand that an open door includes these trials, includes this adversity, but it's an open door because I'm having the opportunity to preach Christ.
Yes, yes. And I love the fact that the verse following, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Next verse, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. How would the palace hear about what he's going through unless it was those Roman guards, unless it was that incarceration? Greet those that are of Caesar's household, he'll conclude with in chapter 4. And so much of his trials and pain and affliction was a direct avenue to get the gospel to those that needed it. His heart's desire, his burden was to get the gospel to Rome, and he did. He did, but he didn't do it as a pastor. He did it as a prisoner, as God transported him.
That's a great statement.
To get the gospel there.
That's a great statement. Yeah. He didn't do it as a pastor. He did it as a prisoner.
Yes.
Yeah, and your prosperity will give you opportunity to preach Christ, but your persecution will give you a microphone. It'll give you an amplifier. It's going to ramp up the volume to other people. Because when somebody who says God is good says it in a life of ease, is it true? Of course it's true. But when somebody says God is good and he's going through it and circumstances seem to belie that statement, wow, now that statement is in large font.
And when our unsaved coworkers, when an unbelieving world sees us go through what their unsaved neighbor went through, but they see us going through it so differently, whether it's a health scare, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whether it's a job loss or a financial reversal, they've seen people go through that with a bad spirit and angst and bitterness, but they haven't seen someone go through that still with joy and rejoicing and contentment and the peace of God that passes all understanding. When they see that, that's when the message of Christ is magnified in our life.
And that's a decision, friends, that you and I have to make for ourselves. I can't make that for you. As much as I want to climb into somebody's heart and make them make a decision, listen, we're individual agents and there's individual soul liberty. So the Apostle Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. And it's interesting, Scott, how often that verse is misquoted. For me to live is Christ. No, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, I don't know about you. I know not what path others may take, you know, but for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I guess my question to each one of our listeners today would be, what about to you? To you, what is life? Not what do you say life is? Not do you want life to be? Not what's the cute saying, only what's done for Christ will last. What's the not the creed that you can quote, but really, what is your life? So if I were to say today, Tiger Woods, what's his life? You'd say golf is his life. If I said LeBron James, you'd say basketball is his life. And when I say your name or my name or anybody's name, regardless of what we want people to think, certain words are going to emerge. And for the Apostle Paul, he said, I just want when people to think about me, I want them to think about, hey, I live my life for Jesus. I love Jesus. The love of Christ, that's what makes me do what I do. His love for me, my consequent love for him. That's why I do what I do. For to me to live, it's Christ. As long as I live, I want every breath, I want every day, I want every passion to find its center in Christ. And one day I'm going to die, and it's going to even be better because I'm going to be with him.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, what a testimony.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's move on to one more thought before today's podcast needs to end. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, so boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be great one day just to see him, this life. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know. But I'm in a narrow spot betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So, man, honestly, if I could just take some truth serum today, I would tell you, I'm done. I am ready to get on the next train. I am so ready for heaven. I'm so ready to see my Savior. I'm ready. But I'm really in this conundrum because I also realize that there's a great work to do and I'm needed and God's using me. And so what do I do? Do you sense some of that?
Absolutely. And he's so focused and grounded in Christ, the gospel, the kingdom. The unpredictabilities of life didn't shake him up. The things that have happened to me have fallen out. Not planned out, they've fallen out. And then that phrase, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. I don't know the unpredictabilities. I can't plan out and control and govern everything. And when those unpredictabilities hit, when I'm focused on Christ, in blessing, in investing in others, in getting the gospel out, even when those unpredictabilities hit, I can still be steadfast, stable, and grounded.
And maybe that would be a great place for us just to shove off for today, to say, let's each one of us today try to maintain a Christ focus throughout the day. Number one, he's with you. So you can count on that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Number two, he has paved the way for you. He is your example. You're not going to go through anything today that he has not already prescripted and that he doesn't already feel your pain in. He's touched with those feelings of our infirmity. He is living through you. So you know that you have power to face any circumstance by his grace, and then he ought to be your incentive. But he died for me. He died for me. He gave his life for me. I want to live for him. I want to talk of him. I want to honor him. I want to reflect his love and grace to other people. For to me, to live is Christ. This is the only day we've got, folks. We can't boast ourselves of tomorrow. Let's live today for Jesus Christ. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.